There are those who really believe their good deeds outweigh their sin. They say, I go to church, I do this, and they're really, maybe they are outwardly righteous in a lot of their behavior, right? But it's gonna come out, it's gonna seep out. Sinfulness will seep out in one who's not saved. Whether, you know, it's an outward veneer of righteousness.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a comment from Adrian in New Mexico. He says, thank you for blessing me with your program this morning. In Jesus' name, Adrian. Well, Adrian, you are so welcome, and we just praise the Lord and thank him for the privilege of sharing God's word on this radio station. And we're so thankful that God has given us this opportunity to do so. And so thank you for your encouragement, but also just want to share with our listeners, be praying for Equipping the Saints. Be praying about supporting Equipping the Saints. If the Lord has blessed you from this ministry, he's used his word, would you consider giving a gift? You see, our ministry is completely listener funded, and we receive no income from this ministry at all. It all goes back to the broadcast. So with this in mind, would you pray about giving to Equipping the Saints? Dave will have our contact information at the end of the broadcast. Okay, well, let's get to our broadcast, where we're finishing up our portion on the watchman in Ezekiel 33. So let's turn there as we begin.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but precious in his sight are his godly ones. How does that work? I don't know, but I want to be like him. I want to have his attitude. And I've failed. I'm sure you've failed at people who are, they're really got one step on their way to hell. Their deeds are evident, leading them to judgment. I shared that in the beginning, right? Unless something happens, unless there's repentance, they're on their way to hell. And we need to pray for that. But as we're going to see, there are some who may not look like they're on their way to hell, but they are. And God's going to reveal to Ezekiel how to deal with them also. How we should deal with those who think that their righteousness is going to save them. Who think that their righteous deeds will save them. So what are we to do? We're to share God's word when God opens the door. And pastors are to share God's word. To share God's word. What a wonderful thing when we are forgiven. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken contrite heart, David said after he had failed. He turned. His heart was changed. He turned. He knew he'd sinned. He didn't want to hide it anymore. He was deceiving God and deceiving himself, trying to deceive God, deceiving himself, and he didn't want to hide it. He didn't want to hide it. In Matthew 23:37, the Lord Jesus shares a very interesting statement, which again strikes us odd if we are overly theologically minded. But if we just take God's word, it shows his heart. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus is saying, I wanted to gather so often. But he says, you were unwilling. Well, can't God do anything? Yes, he can. And he does do his will. But yet, he is a God who is a gracious God, who we see his heart here, that if you are unwilling, he'll let you go your way. But when he convicts, I encourage you to listen and to turn and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Satan blinds the minds of the unbelieving, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When he's convicting you, you better turn. You better not harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Allow God to save you. Acknowledge your sin and be saved. God takes no pleasure in sending anyone to hell. Don't think he does. He does take no pleasure. Remember, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25. So then, the soul that sins will die, and all souls are his. But he doesn't want you to die. We saw this in Ezekiel 18 also, verse 31. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. Now, what is repentance? In the Old Testament, the word shuv means to turn. In the New Testament, the word is metanoia, which means to meta, to change, your noia is mind. And so we have this idea of a change of mind that causes a change of direction. And I've often given this illustration that if you truly change your mind, your behavior does change. If you are driving along, you're on your way to Target or whatever, and you change your mind that you're going to go to Walmart, then you go to Walmart. You change your mind, and your actions change also. You see? And so a true change of mind in someone who has been had their eyes opened to their sin is to go, wow, I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, save me. It's a change of mind. I believe it now. And you turn to Jesus for salvation. He says, therefore, repent and live. Okay, so now we see here that God desires you to be saved. He doesn't want you to die in your sin. He doesn't desire anyone to die in their sin. He takes no pleasure in that. Rather, you would repent and live. And so I encourage you also to take no pleasure in anyone's demise. We don't rejoice in calamity, right? We want to have a heart that is like our Lord's. So now at this point, there was the group that had given up, right? Okay, it's all happening, it's happening, and we give up, but we're not repenting. And God says, repent. I take no pleasure in your death, right? Now there's another group here that were misguided and unwilling to repent. And we're going to see that this group, first of all, consisted of some of the self-righteous. Okay? Look at verse 12. And you, son of man, say to your fellow citizens, this would be those Israelites who are exiles, the righteousness of a righteous man will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. And as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in the day he turns from his wickedness. Whereas a righteous man will not be able to live by his righteousness on the day when he commits sin. You know, that's a tongue full, right? Well, the reality is right here, we're going to see Ezekiel is now to confront. You got the give up people that aren't repenting. He's confronted them. Now you got those who are righteous in their deeds. Some men's deeds follow after. We've seen people, our old church, people who appeared very spiritual and very righteous. Oh boy, but those deeds came out later. You know? So here, he's going to talk about those who are truly actually self-righteous. Okay? And so here he says, your fellow citizens, say for us, the righteousness of a righteous man will not deliver him in the day of his transgression. What's he saying? He's saying your current righteous actions are not going to deliver you when you sin. Why? Because the soul that sins will die. And he says, as for the wickedness of the wicked, he will not stumble because of it in the day he turns to his wickedness. Wow. The wicked, when they turn, that's not going to hold them down. They're not going to stumble into judgment. That's amazing. Praise the Lord. When you are forgiven, sin is removed. And it's no longer a reason for judgment and condemnation. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So he's going to clear up misunderstandings concerning those who think their good deeds outweigh their sin and think that the sinner there is never going to be saved. All right? Sounds kind of like the Pharisees, doesn't it? Sounds kind of like the way the Israelites were before or when the Lord came. So verse 12 is really kind of a summary of the rest of the chapter as we'll look at it here, or till verse 16. So notice, your personal righteousness is not going to deliver you. Righteousness, the righteous man, middle of 12, will not deliver the day of his transgression. Hey, your righteous deeds aren't going to do it. Okay? Your good deeds, there are those who really believe their good deeds outweigh their sin. They say, I go to church, I do this, and maybe they are outwardly righteous in a lot of their behavior, right? But it's gonna come out. It's gonna seep out. Sinfulness will seep out in one who's not saved. Rather, you know, it's an outward veneer of righteousness. Your righteousness is not gonna hold you up when you sin. The soul that sins will die. The only way is to turn and live. Turn to the Lord and live. You see, there were probably some very spiritual people here around Ezekiel who believed, well, I'm righteous, I'll be fine. Well, even in that statement we see here, it's almost as if they're sitting in that statement, as we'll see that. Look at verse 13. When I say to the righteous, he will surely live. And so he trusts in his righteousness that he commits iniquity. The way that's phrased is, you know, the Lord is saying, I said the righteous, you're going to live. But I'm not talking about those who trust in their righteousness. These are those who are righteous because they've turned in repentance and trusted in me. That's really what it is. He's clarifying, I'm not saying to those who think they're righteous that they're going to live. Isn't God gracious? He's exposing that. He says, none of his righteous deeds will be remembered, but in that same iniquity of his, which he has committed, he will die. He'll die in your sins. Some people appear to be righteous, but their sin follows after. That's what we saw in 1 Timothy. Some, it's obvious. They're on their way to judgment, but some, it's not obvious. They're self-righteous here, as he's saying. You know, righteous deeds, apart from faith, are disgusting in God's sight. It's just a phony act that will eventually be shown. It'll eventually be exposed. We know so clearly that, as Isaiah would say, all of our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. Self-righteous deeds. So, he's confronting that. He's clearing up misunderstandings. When God says, you know, if you're righteous, you're going to live, he's not saying self-righteous. Right? He's a gracious God. Isn't he gracious? Yes. It's true in repentance that will exhibit righteous fruit that brings life. Look at verse 14. But when I say to the wicked, you will surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness, if the wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he's taken by robbery, walks by the statutes in which ensure life without committing iniquity, he will surely live, not die. Now, in the context here, it's obeying the covenant, but that would be in the context of faith. Back in Deuteronomy, the Lord said, you know, turn to me with all your heart. You can do this. And he also said, circumcise your hearts. Have a changed heart. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's the one who can do what God says when he's trusting him. So he's saying, you're not going to die unless you're in your sins. He's saying, he will surely live. He shall not die. When you turn from your sin, you got life. You turn to Jesus, you've got life. You see, because they would say, oh, that wicked man, he's out, he's too far gone, he's too wicked. He can't be saved. Turns from his sin, he's going to live. Going to live. And then notice, we see repentance. But when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness, that's repentance. It's the fruit of repentance. Not talking about works righteousness, but repentance that produces good works. I shared this earlier, but the Apostle Paul shares the gospel to King Agrippa in Acts 26. And as he shares it to him, he shares that Jesus appointed him to open the eyes of the Gentiles, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance of those who are saved by faith in me. Jesus tells Saul, soon to be Paul, forgiveness of sins by faith in Jesus. And Paul said, consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring to the Jews, both at Damascus first and at Jerusalem, and throughout the region, even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God. And that means turn to Jesus in this context. And therefore, he says, perform deeds appropriate to repentance. You know, when you get saved and you've got sinful situations in your life, you're going to go, I got to make that right. You know, if you are a thief and you get saved and you got all this booty in your garage, I think you're probably going to go, this needs to go back. Whatever it is. Whatever you do, you're going to want by a new changed heart to do the right thing. There's going to be fruit. Now, with John the Baptist, he was sitting there baptizing, a baptism of identification with repentance, preparing the way for trusting in Jesus. he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming in the multitude. And he said, basically these brood of vipers, why do you guys, have come to escape the judgment to come? He said, therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You're given a show that you're repenting outwardly. Actually repent and bear forth fruit. He says in Matthew chapter 3, therefore bring fruit in keeping with repentance. So back in our passage, verse 14, but when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and he turns from his sin and practices justice and righteousness, if a wicked man restores a pledge, pays back what he's taken by robbery, walks by the statutes which ensure life without committing iniquity, he will surely live, he will not die. Now, if we were to read through this too quickly, we would miss a wonderful phrase the Lord has laid in here for us to marvel. If this wicked man repents after being warned by the word, he will surely live, he will not die. And look at verse 16. None of his sins, which he has been committed, will be remembered against him. He has practiced justice and righteousness, he will surely live. Hey, there's an evidence of repentance, true, genuine faith, and his sins are forgotten. Isn't that great? When you turn from sin, I'm a sinner. I think of the horrible things I've done and the things I've done and how God has forgiven me of that. How he's not going to remember it. He's not going to bring it up. How wonderful is that? Turn to Psalm 103. We see this. Isn't that great? Sin's not remembered anymore. We need to be more like Christ, by the way. We remember people sin too much when they confess. We need to be like God, like Christ. We need to forgive, right? We see that Colossians 2, Ephesians 4 in the end, and 5. Psalm 103, and I want to go to verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord. They're thrown into the depths of the sea. Malachi, we have that picture. Depths of the sea. Remembered no more. You can have your sins forgiven. Deleted in a sense, in that Christ paid the penalty for them. A pardon. Forgiveness, them remembered no more from God's perspective. You trust in Jesus because he bore your sins in his body on the cross and he died for you and he rose from the dead. If you turn from your wicked ways to Jesus, that's all you can do is turn to him with your whole heart. You can't stop your sinning. You turn to Jesus. He'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. Let me ask you this. Do you think your righteousness is going to save you? Soul that sins will die. It is only the righteousness of Christ through repentance and faith that we are delivered from death. Okay, finishing up here, there's another group, last group here. There's a group that cries foul. There's always that group around, right? That says, that's not fair, right? That's what we're going to see here. Verse 17, yet your fellow citizens say, the way of the Lord is not right, when it is their own way that is not right. When the righteous turns from his righteousness to commit sins, then he shall die in it. But when the wicked turns from his wickedness and practices right, justice, righteousness, he will live by them. Yet you say the way of the Lord is not right, O house of Israel. I will judge each of you according to your ways. So here, he confronts their sinful thinking where they say the way of the Lord is not right. They're saying it from the perspective the righteous one should get in and the sinner that did this repent, he should be judged. That's what they're saying. But God confronts them. He says it's when it's their own way that is not right. That's the problem. That's the problem. You see, when a righteous turns from his righteousness, that's a faux righteousness as we've seen, and commits sin, he'll die. And the soul that sins will die. But when a wicked man repents, as we see here, and you see that fruit of repentance, verse 8, verse 19, he's going to live. He's going to live. And again, I just want to encourage you, if you've written people off in your life because of how wicked their lives are, and I'm not justifying that, it's terrible, it will bring judgment. Keep praying for them. Keep being ready to share that they might live. That they might live. Share the gospel. So lastly, notice the bottom line, verse 20. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not right. O house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to your ways. That's it. You say God's way is not right. He says, well, it's your way that's not right. It's your way that's not right. You see, God will bring every act into judgment. Solomon, when he was done with all of his experimenting and all of his sin and his wisdom stuff, he said in the very end, the end is fear God and keep his commandments, for this applies to everyone. For God will bring every act into judgment. We see the end of Ecclesiastes. Turn back from your ways. Why would you die? Back in verse 11, why then would you die? Why are you dying in your sins? Why are you going to die in your sins? Turn to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Why would you die in your sins? God takes no pleasure in that. He doesn't want you to die. He wants you to live. Turn to Jesus. Okay, so how can we apply this? Obviously, if you're in your sin, and it maybe appears righteous, but you're still in your sin, you're going to, soul that sins dies. Turn and repent and live. God takes no pleasure that you would go to punishment. He wants you to live eternally. And then for us believers, we need to be so thankful our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. They are remembered no more. You think about how sinful we are, and we confess those sins, and it's forgiven. Praise the Lord, we are forgiven. And we need to be ready to share God's word when he opens the door to those he desires us to share with. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this truth, and help us to have the heart of your son Jesus, that we would be like you, and we would have a heart that takes no pleasure in people going to judgment, that desires them to live by repenting and believing in your son. We pray for open doors with our family, open doors with our neighbors, open doors with those around us, that we'd be ready to share the good news of your son Jesus. It's in his name we pray.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus.
And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.